Well, I do bring you greetings again this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Who would think that we'd be here on December the 26th and it'd be 50 degrees outside, and it just feels like winter has not yet come. But time has changed. By the dates of the calendar, we know time moves on. And I was working with Dennis on Thursday, and he says, "Mike, what are you going to preach about? I don't want to take from your thoughts and my devotions." And I told him I didn't know yet, because I didn't tell him what I was going to preach about. But my mind was running a little bit on the same thought, and I know that it just doesn't seem like long since it was the first Sunday of the year, and I happened to preach the first Sunday of this year, and I'm preaching the last Sunday of this year, and it just, a lot happened in that year. And I thought about, I didn't count how many babies were born, but I'm sure there was one or two, maybe three, and I know there's been several new Christians, and that's a wonderful experience. And there's also new relationships been established. And I don't think any of the dating couples were here this morning, but I'm sure they would have sat in our adult Sunday school and thought, what in the world's wrong with these people? Because when you're courting that relationship, it just seems like it couldn't go wrong. And once you get married, you realize that there's more differences than perhaps you thought about. Also, I was thinking about that in our congregation, there's been a new home established. Lorray and Marilyn are still smiling. That's a good thing. At least I see Lorray. Yeah, they're both smiling. It's a good thing. And there's also been people that have relocated. I thought about Dennis. I think he told me that he had devotions this same Sunday a year ago when they were contemplating moving here. And some of us have decided to change jobs. And for better or for worse, maybe we'll just stop with that. And then there's also those here that have lost maybe older parents. And maybe a younger parent and a father, and it brings a tough time.
It does. But
when I thought about that, that one of our loved ones went to be with the Lord. Joyous for him, and yet somehow sad for us. Some of these things were anticipated and planned for, and some of them weren't. Some of these things brought much joy and some brought much sadness. And yet in all these things, God was and he still is working out his plan here on earth, his perfect will. God in his foreknowledge knew what we were going to face this past year. And he knows what we're going to face in the future. And when I was preparing for this sermon, I got the message about Tim Martin's wife. And I haven't really heard an update since yesterday or whenever that little message was sent out. But I was reminded again how uncertain really life is. And we just don't know what's growing inside of us, what's really happening. But God does, and we can trust him in that. So this morning for a message, I was simply going to look back a little bit. And I think when I preached the first Sunday of the year that I think I titled it something like Worthy Goals. And I think one of my points was to not look back. When you focus on something and you have a goal in mind, you need to focus on that goal and not look back. And I thought about this when I was studying for this message. I thought, well, maybe I'm almost contradicting myself. But there's a difference between putting your hand to the plow and looking back and kind of wishing that you could still have some of those things you've turned away from. There's another aspect where you can look back, and I think we need to look back in order to maybe see better the direction we're headed. I thought about 2 years ago. A little over 2 years ago, I was in Belize, and we went deep sea fishing. And we got on this little wee boat, and there's a lot of water out there, and we said, we're going to go out deep sea fishing. So we get on a boat, and we start gone. And are we getting anywhere? And if you look ahead, and all there is water, there's really no way of knowing, am I getting anywhere? And you had to look back and say, yeah, there's the land that we left, so obviously we're moving. The water's churning, the motor's roaring. Are we getting anywhere? So this morning, I have only 3 points. And somehow I thought when I looked at it again this morning, maybe they don't really go together. But it was things that I find in my life. And I guess in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, some of them have struck harder than others. And I just thought I would just bring them here. And so if you can't connect with them, I'm just going to preach to myself and y'all can listen in. And hopefully you got something out of the Sunday school or the devotions. Point number one, What direction am I heading? We're on a journey. We're all on a journey. And sometimes, as I said before, we need to just look back, because each decision we make in life, there comes another decision. And then we make another decision and another decision. And it gets us going in a direction. And we need to sometimes look back and say, which direction am I going? Am I actually getting closer to God? Or am I getting further away? Many of us here, if you have any age to you, and I've pondered this a lot. If you have any age to you, there's been people in your past, maybe people that go to your family gatherings, that you see at one point in time they believed one thing, and they were pretty strong on it. But as time went on, they began to change, and suddenly their life. You wonder, what happened to their Bible? I was reminded of this last Sunday when we were singing at Old Town that I'm walking, well, you saw me. I was walking there with my children and trying to do the babysitting job. And there was these old people sitting there, older people sitting there listening to y'all sing. And I went walking past and said hello. And the one woman said to me, she's like, hey, who are you? Well, I mean, this is my name. Well, where are y'all from? And I grew up in Morgansville, and I used to go to Miller's Mennonite Church. And I'm looking at this woman thinking, how? How do you get from Bible-based believing until having maybe a portion of the Bible you somehow, I guess, believe? But in my mind, when I saw her, I didn't see the whole Bible being lived out. Somewhere in her life, somewhere in people's lives, they miss it, they lose it. And it's little by little by little. And if I don't ever go back and look and say, where was I? From a good sense. And try to determine which direction I'm headed, I guess I can get to that same point. I look around and say, oh, yeah, back then my dad was a Christian or my granddad was a Christian and they used to go to church. But me, no, I just decided it's not important. And we live in a world that continually gone. The things are not important. And more people are saying, you can just come to church and you can be saved. And they're losing the true biblical teaching because they're just looking forward saying, yeah, that's probably okay, yeah, that's probably okay. And they aren't going back and looking at the Word of God and saying, but where we were at was what was right. And that's the reason when you go to give blood and you can sit there with a voice changed, and I know I shave sometimes, I'm not as shaved, and they'll say, are you a male? And I'm like, yes. But in the world in which we live, people have got to the point where that can even be up for grabs. And there's churches that are saying it can be up for grabs. But it can't be. Amen. There are people who are saying this, but it can't be. And it frustrates me, but people have decided to forget the past. How does it happen? In one little step? One in a great big step or one little step at a time. Sometimes it looks like it happens in a big step, but I'm convinced that all of those things happen one little step at a time, and suddenly it comes out maybe in a big step. For our scripture this morning, you can turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Here we have John writing down what Jesus had to say about the church of Ephesus. And he had some good things to say about the church of Ephesus. We'll start at verse 1. And the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Cease reading there. Jesus is saying here, I know thy works. He's telling the church, I know thy works. I know the things you have done. I know how hard you are working. I know how much energy you are pouring in. I know how concerned you are about the influences that are pressing in upon your congregation. And you have made right choices and decisions concerning them. And I know that you have labored diligently for the sake of the gospel. And you haven't given up. And you continue to press on. It sounds like a church that was doing all they could to build Christ's kingdom and to serve him, doing what they knew. However, the next couple of verses there, verse 4 and 5, says, reveals a different picture. And he puts it, I'm going to put it in my own words. He says, you have become a machine. You're busy doing the right thing, but why? Because it has become a habit. And you have forgotten the real reason. You do not love me like you once did. The relationship you had with me in the beginning is gone. What is driving you now is just good deeds, because you know this is a thing to do. It looks right. It sounds right. It feels right. But something is missing. And that is the reason. The first love is missing. Instead of doing this for Jesus, you're doing them to be seen of man. You have simply become a machine. Jesus talks about these types of people in Matthew. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excesses. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! Ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so also ye appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This morning, one reason we need to look back and evaluate our lives is, have I left my first love? Have I become a machine? And I go to prayer meeting. And I go to sewing circle. And I have my personal devotions. And I have my family devotions. And I ask people how they're doing. And I try to reach out, go to singing choruses. And I try to reach out to people. But inside, I've lost that love. It's just a machine. It's because it's out of habit. It's because I know that's what good Mennonites should do. Even though it is the right decision, is it for the right reason? That's the question I asked you this morning. That's the reason we need to look back occasionally and say, what is my reason? What is my purpose? What is my focus? Perhaps you're here this morning and you can remember when you became a Christian and you said, Lord, I'm yours for anything. I'll do anything. I'm yours. I'm going to serve you. This morning, are you still saying that, or do you have a contingency in there and you say, I'm yours as long as it fits my agenda? This morning, at the end of this year, when you look back on your life, when you look back in the past year, the past 5 years, has the experiences that you faced in life, have they helped you to grow in your relationship with God? Is your devotional life stronger? Is your prayer life better? Does the church, the brotherhood, hold as important of a role in your life as it did last year or 5 years ago? Or do I find myself trying to convince myself that I need more independence? And maybe it would be better if I would just think the way I want to think, and you would think the way you want to think, and we would just agree to disagree. Would that be better than the way I used to think, that we should have brotherhood and we should come together on issues and resolve issues? Psalm 133:1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Somehow I don't think true unity is agreeing to disagree. This morning, are you living in spiritual victory? Or are you simply living according to spiritual knowledge? Or maybe I could say biblical knowledge. This morning, the music that you listen to today, is it different than what you listened to a year ago, 5 years ago? Is it bringing you a closer relationship with God? Or when you look back and see where you're at now, do you see that it's gone the wrong direction? Just the question I asked. I recently, Titus preached a sermon on music at Calvary, I think 2 weeks ago. And I listened to it, and I would encourage each one of you here to listen to it. Very, very informative. He's a history man, maybe you would say, and he had a lot of good things in there. And I listened to it, and it made me think. It made me evaluate, where am I at with my life? And I like the song that we sang, 383, "Where is the blessedness I knew?" When you look back, are you missing something now? And that song just said, "Where is the blessedness I knew?" And I can't remember the rest of the phrase. That's 383. But it was something that we used to have that now I'm missing. And sometimes we need to look back there and say, which direction am I headed? Is it gone right? Lest we be like that older woman that I met last Sunday, and she felt safe. Whenever, to me, it didn't feel like that she was living according to biblical teaching. Point number two. Another reason to perhaps look back is when we find ourselves discouraged. You know, life has its up and downs. And maybe this point is peculiar to me because in the past 2 weeks, I've faced some discouragement that Brother Curtis warned me of. He's not here this morning, but he told me when I started my business, you're going to have some really tough times. And I'm thinking, thank you. This is like telling a dating person they're going to have a hard time at married life. I mean, it felt pretty good getting started. It felt like the right thing to do. But he was right. He was right. There is time, tough times that come. And about a week ago, I was struggling. I was really struggling a little over a week ago. I had bid numerous jobs. And I don't know why fishing, I only went deep sea fishing 2 times. The last time was a better experience than the first time, and you're about to hear why. But I was struggling. I was bidding jobs, and you would bid a job, and you would send it out, and then you would text, and you would say, "Hey, just checking to see." And people weren't responding. I was getting no response back. And it was getting discouraging. And it was a little bit like I thought about my time 20 years ago, probably. I went deep sea fishing, and we were on a boat. And it was hot, and no fish were biting, and I just wanted to quit. I mean, it confined me to a small boat in a lot of water, and there's no fish, and it's hot. I'm pretty much done. I just want to quit. What's the point anyway? And I was thinking this in my business. I thought I should start a business. I wanted to start a business. I felt like it was the right thing to do, but I had kind of forgot all that. And here I am, driving down the road saying, "Lord, I've invested this much energy, this much time, this much money.
And nothing. No one's biting. No fish are biting. And I thought of Elijah. I don't know why my mind went to him. And I could have a whole sermon on Elijah. I'm not gonna read the whole thing on Elijah, but you can turn back to 1 Kings chapter 19 is where I'm gonna start. We're gonna read verses 1-4. And Ahab, 1 Kings 19, verses 1-4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself, this is Elijah, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Elijah, complete discouragement. And when I thought about him, I went back and just read. And you don't read much about Elijah. Don't know anything about Elijah that I know of up until chapter 17, two chapters before, which is pretty much 3.5 years ahead of this account. And I went back and read, and I thought, how could have Elijah forgotten? So soon, in a 3.5 year period, he forgot. We can go back and look at his whole life. And I'm just going to go down across it a little bit. But we remember in the first part there that God told him, go to Ahab and tell him it's not going to rain. And that's what he did. He went and told Ahab, it's not going to rain until God says it's going to rain again. And we can read about Elijah. He went out and stood beside that brook. God said, go to the brook. And the ravens came and they fed him. And he drank from that brook. And one day the brook dried up. Now, James says that Elijah was a man like peasants such as we are. So I assume he had some maybe hard days. When you're standing beside a brook and the ravens are bringing you food and the water's running and it's running less and it's less and it's less. I imagine Elijah thought, I think I better figure something else out. I'm going to run out of water. That would be me as the water got less and less. And that's what in my mind I was thinking, it's not working out. I need to do something else. When did God provide for Elijah? When he took his last drink. The water was gone. No more water. It says that. Verse 7 of chapter 17, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. There's no water. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah and said, arise, go to Zarephath. And I have a woman there that's going to take care of you. Amazing. And he went there. And he told this woman was getting ready to make the last of what she had. And then she said, her and her son, they were going to make the last meal and they were going to die. And God had told them that her barrel of meal won't, her oil won't run all, the meal won't get all. But Elijah told her, you give me first. And then yourself. And this is a little rabbit trail, but when I was reading, I couldn't help but think about it. A beautiful illustration of giving God first and then supplying for our needs. And not to reverse it and take care of myself first and then give God. God specifically said, Elijah specifically said, give me first and then I'll take care of you. And that's what that woman did. She put her trust in God and says, I'll give you. And God took care of her needs. And then we can go on down and read where Elijah, her son got sick and died. And then we have Elijah calling out to God and saying, Lord, just bring this son back to life that this woman can have her child back. And God answered his prayer. And then we have where God told him to go back and talk to Ahab. And he got all the prophets of Baal together. And they had a contest. Which God was going to answer by fire? And of course, we know the prophets of Baal, they cried and they cried and they cried, and nothing happened. He's like, well, cry louder. And they started to cut themselves. Still nothing. And finally, Elijah said, well, I think you've had enough. Let me cry out to my God. And we can read how he took water and he built that altar. And I assume that I just picture an altar that came up a little bit, 12 stones. I figured they were larger stones, maybe just in my mind. Maybe it's because I saw a Bible storybook with larger stones. But you picture an altar that was built up. And he laid wood on it, they put a bullock on that thing. And he said, dump water on it. And they dug a ditch around and they filled the ditch with water. Amazing. He had an altar, wood, bullock, water. And he called on God and fire came down. And what was left? Nothing. The bullock, the wood, the stones, the water, the dirt, the dust, it licked it all up and it's gone. Amazing. And then he went and prayed that it would rain 7 times. And he looked at Ahab and said, there's a cloud. His servant said, there's a cloud coming up and it's going to rain. And he looked at Ahab and says, go for the city, it's going to rain. And God was with Elijah and he ran faster than the horse and chariot, got to the city first. Where was Elijah? Saying, Lord, in chapter 19, take away my life. I'm discouraged. The same God that was there the last 3.5 years was still there for Elijah. And when I was facing that discouragement in my life, I thought of Elijah, I thought, you need to look back. Mike, you need to look back and you need to think about how you got to this point. And you need to understand that I needed to remind myself that God was there last year, beginning of this year. When I made that decision that this is what I'm going to do, it's what I need to do for my family. It's what I need to do for job opportunities in our congregation. And when I thought back, I could see how God worked in different ways to make it all work out. Am I now going to be Elijah and say, Lord? So this morning, I don't know what you're facing. But if you're discouraged or if you're struggling with present issues, go back. There's some spot in your life that I'm sure you can say, there was God leading. This is how I got to this point. And that same God that led you back there is going to be with you in the future. He might wait till you take your last drink to supply the next one. And it's interesting when you read that story that what was the first thing he asked for when he got to the lady's house? Give me a drink of water. Well, point number three, maybe this morning you couldn't connect with wondering where you're at. Maybe you couldn't connect with discouragement. I said life has its ups and downs, and I've said many a times I'm too blessed to be stressed, and I still am. But we find ourselves in sometimes in situations where it's just not as easy to say that. But maybe this morning that's where you're at, and you said, I have a close relationship with God. Everything's working out job-wise. Where I live worked out. And life is just really good. There's another account in your Bible that talks about these kind of people. And you too must look back. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 to 14. This is Moses telling the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 to 14. He tells them that when they get to this land of their going, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord that brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. This morning, if you are just, I don't know, just wonderful, praise God. But don't forget, he's the reason that you got there. Lest you become lifted up in pride and say, it's because of me and because of my good management that I'm here. Then it won't go well. Remember God. In conclusion, as we leave this year and head into the next, I wanted to read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we face difficult times in the future, and they will come. If you're in a wonderful experience right now, there will be some hard times coming, I can assure you. But in those times, let's remember to look back and say that the God that was there, and I'm not quite finished listening to that whole account of those missionaries coming out of Haiti, but I'm telling you, I was just blessed by the amount I did listen to. And what a wonderful thing for those people to cling to for the rest of their life. There was God. And just listening to it, it made me, just reminded me again of how real God is. He was there and he let him out. And the power that he gives us over Satan. And I thought about the power that came from unity as well. As they all cried out and continued to seek to find unity in when they were going to escape and how God miraculously worked that out. The same God that was with us in the past will be with us in the future. You may kneel.